Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Women in Business Radio Show with Sian Murphy, connecting women in business around the globe.
Hello and welcome into the Women in Business Radio Show studio. I'm Sian Murphy. My co-host is...
Adele Martin.
And she's busy nattering. I've managed to shut them up now. She's busy nattering with our guest in the studio, who is Elaine Foster Gandy. Elaine is a textile artist and she's a teacher. She's an artist. And that fits in rather nicely. Fits in rather nicely with our topic. So our topic today is creativity, bringing different thinking into your business. So just to clarify, so we all know where we're coming from here, we're talking about, this is any business, it's not necessarily an artistic business. This is your business. You could be an accountant, you could be a concrete mixer. It doesn't not the noun, not the thing. Is that the right word? The madness has started. It doesn't matter what your business is. The topic is about bringing creativity into your business. Mm. So do you think we should keep telling people how they can listen to this?
In the usual
Well, they
place.
Are actually listening to it, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I think it's quite nice to tell people different ways that they can listen to it. So go on, you do that.
Absolutely. You can listen in Spotify, on Apple, on Alexa, and you can even go to our website where you can see the array of all of our previous podcasts. And you can also then follow us, please, on LinkedIn, on Instagram and Facebook with Web Radio Live.
And we are also on Audible.
We are.
And if you are in the States, we are also on iHeart Radio.
Mm, we are.
I have no idea why we can't listen to it here, but we can't. Mm. But I know that people do listen to it because I see the stats.
Yeah, because we were looking at the Seychelles the other day, so we know people are. We're getting out. Yeah, but we are global.
We are global.
We are global. Scary, but
fantastic.
We are global.
Yeah, I know. God, how awful. Yes, we're influencing people. Do they know? I think we need to put it out there with a disclaimer, just in case they assume we know what we're doing.
Global reach.
Okay, so creativity, bringing different thinking into your business. What do we mean by that? You see, I've said this, and I don't know what to say now, so I'm just going to ask people. What do you think, bringing different thinking into your business?
For me, it's just looking at things so differently. And I just feel over the last 3 or 4 years, we just keep dumping the problems and then just forcing the solutions. I think for me, the creativity is taking the time to stop. And I think we've lost the art of stopping and thinking. So for me, when we were discussing, as we do, we were chatting before going on air, is just having the confidence to stop and think differently about your business. And I just feel like over the last 3 years, we've lost the art of doing that. So that's how I feel about it. That's my personal feeling around creativity, thinking differently.
I love that because I think I'm an artist, but I've also run a fashion retail outlet. So, you know, I've also worked in the kennels. You know, I've done loads of different jobs. I was an Oriflame representative.
Do you know they're still around?
No.
Yes, it is. Oriflame is still around. I was approached by a couple the other day.
Fantastic.
I run events that involve people who talk about beauty and all of that sort of thing. And so I get to come across all of this. And I remember Oriflame when I was young. I remember my mum using Oriflame.
Yeah.
And I'm 60 now.
It was
and
a thing, wasn't
yeah,
it? Those
when
parties.
I say I remember my mum using it, I mean I was like a child and I remember my mum using it. And it's still there.
It was the alternative to Avon.
Avon, I was about to say.
And you did
a little bit more upmarket.
A little bit she-she. But the thing was, like, when I was used to do the lipstick, I'd later on I'd watched Abigail's party, and there's a bit on it where Alistair Steadman goes, "I love my lips." And I, after that, I just thought, Oriflame, I couldn't take it seriously after that. Anyway, going back to what you're saying, yeah, different ways of thinking. I think, yeah, we... Well, I've tried, you know, it's always thinking outside of the box is key. And as you were saying, that I used to have this thing where people, if people came up to, when I used to run these events, people used to come in off the street. They'd see a sign, come in off the street, and we'd charge them money to come in. And sometimes they'd get to the door and they'd go, "Well, why should I come in?" And I'd say, if they've made that pilgrimage to come up to the front door, then they're already engaging in this thing that we're doing, you know. So there's something about that. So if you've got a team or you're working with people and they're already engaging with you, don't shut the door on them. Allow their ideas in. And I think it's so easy to, in whatever business you're running, so easy to just go, okay, I know the way. You know, and as I'm saying, my arms are going out like, you know, I'm the leader, follow me. You know, because sometimes out of fear, you think, well, I've got to hold this together. So I'm going to tell everyone what they need to do. But actually, we have to remember that there's a lot of intelligence in the room, in our groups, in our businesses. And everyone should be part of the process, because if they are, then they'll be engaged in it.
But leading, for me, you can be a leader, but being a leader doesn't mean you have to tell everybody what to do and how to do it.
Yes.
I think a leader is leading people in the right direction. So there's a common theme, but actually allowing people to make their own contribution into how that happens.
Yeah. And women do that. I hate to say it. Sorry, guys. I know you might be listening, but I think women do that well and better, because maybe because we naturally have always been setting second class citizens. So it's that sense of coming from a sort of sense of being the underdog. So we kind of look out for the underdog and let people speak. And I'm inclusive arts, so it's important to let people have a voice.
I never worry about the radio show and what we're going to talk about. I arrive here, I have no idea. There's no pre-questions, nothing has happened. But I never, ever worry about it, because the one thing I can do is get other people to talk about their stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So as long as I can
Fantastic.
Do that,
Absolutely.
As long as I can do that, we have a show.
And that's about, it's about teamwork. It's about community. And no matter what community we work in, whether we're working in a building site with a team of guys and there's sort of argy-bargy, might be because people aren't feeling heard. You know, they're not feeling they're being disenfranchised some way, shape or form. And we have to bring, and I made this, and going back to my art, I made this a part of my MA, was I had to come up with a research question. And my research question was, how can learning disabled and non-learning disabled participants come together in a moving fabric sculpture? Mm. And we ended up making this huge costume, which was like shirts with elongated arms that had Velcro on the end, but you could attach and disattach. So you could choose to kind of move with that person, or you could change your mind and go and move with that person. And what was incredible was we all managed to process down a corridor together. We all managed to do that. And afterwards I thought, I want to take this to the government, because it was that time before Brexit when there wasn't cohesion at all. And because we have to all come on board to move forward. Yeah. If we don't, if we leave out people, groups of people, like London and the South East, the North gets so angry about the South East because they think that they're the spoilt child. But we have to bring everyone on board to move forward. So as businesses and microcosms, you know, we have to do that too. How can we, like you saying, Sean, you don't worry about that because you're putting it out there and we're all getting ideas as we're talking to each other.
So, bringing different thinking into your business, I think different thinking is sort of creativity. So, we're not talking about the art, we're not talking about the imagery, we're not talking about the words, the copy or anything like that. We're talking about thinking, having a different approach and thinking differently, perhaps changing direction. One thing that I would like to bring into this, and you mentioned Oriflame, is bringing different thinking into your business, I would like people who are running those businesses, and I'm calling them businesses, to actually think of them as businesses and approach them as businesses and be allowed to approach them as businesses. I sometimes, and I have raised this with local government about involving what is mainly women running those sorts of businesses from home, and they will not take them seriously. And I'm here to say you need to take these businesses seriously. If you do this, and this is my approach, if you run that sort of business, don't take your cue or your lead on how important it is from somebody in local government or a bank or anything else or any organisation or institution that purports to work with businesses. You take your lead from yourself. You are a business.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. That is, if you're not employed and you have a plan, and it doesn't have to be written down, you have a plan in place to generate an income from your own activities as a business, whether you're self-employed or whatever, you're a business. Treat yourself as one and have the respect of what you're doing. And I think so often we take our cue on how to think about our business from people who think they know better.
Absolutely. And what that does is almost a form of self-harm, because if we go to them, it's like going to the butcher for bread. If we go to them, then what we are learning is that we're not good enough.
Yes, that's the thing.
So that is a self-harm, actually.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, so if you approach them, you know, if there are grants going, if there's stuff happening, approach them. If there's support available, approach them. If you get rebuffed because you're not, and I'm doing it now, I've got my fingers in the air, I'm doing it, because you're not a proper business, you know, stick two fingers up, do the other thing, and just carry on, because somewhere somebody is going to take you seriously. I trust you. They really will, trust me.
They really will. And also, those, I came from that fodder of running a business. I literally, we were talking about this the other day, because someone was saying there's a feeling of the 80s at the moment, like that possibility, because we live in a world that's shifted now. Mm. And that idea of getting an idea out there and making it happen. Yeah. But she was talking, we were like, because I was in Hastings the other day and all those lovely, great independent shops.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we need, that creativity on the high street, those independent shops that are all, people are doing their own things, supporting each other as a community, you know, and it's really important today that we do find a way, because as a child, I had an idea and I said to my mum, I want to do a jumble sale in the back garden. And mum said, okay, well, where are you going to get the stock from? I said, well, I'm just going to go and ask the neighbours. So I went and round the neighbours, got all their left, you know, bits and pieces, and put posters up along the street and charged people a penny to come in, and I sold it back to them. And they loved it because they were coming in buying something else. You know, I mean, everything was pennies. See, it was all pennies.
That is a business. Yes. And one of the things, as I've been working with micro businesses, and also as running my own business, and I have received council support. In fact, I'm probably about the only person I know who received various grants from the council during lockdown. So, you know, I went through the process and that was it. But one of the things that I've sort of spotted along the way is very often when you're running a micro business and you go to various chambers, business support organisations, banks, local government, the people that you're dealing with have never run a business. Okay,
so yep, absolutely,
they've never run
absolutely
a business.
Yep.
They have no idea what it's like. They don't know what they're talking about. Sorry, folks, but very often they don't. It's not always the case, but very often they don't. Mm. So for you to take on board their attitude of, oh, well, you're not big enough, or you're not this enough, or you're not serious enough or professional enough, for you to take on the attitude of somebody who is not actually walking the way that you're walking, is not in your shoes, just don't do it. Just flick them away, swat them gone, and find somebody who will treat you with the respect deserve as a business.
And I would scroll back from there and I'd say, as women and men, trust your instincts. Mm. If you knock on a door and you look at someone and you go, your stomach sinks, walk, go, oh, I'm sorry, I've got an emergency, and walk away. Do not engage with that person. Don't even go there. Don't cross the threshold. Because if you cross the threshold of that door, you're sucked down a rabbit hole. And that rabbit hole could take 6 months of depression out from you. Yeah. Because as small businesses, you can get pulled down those rabbit holes very quickly and feel like you're a failure. So trust, it's a phone call first and see what the voice is like.
I tell you what, that is the biggest... Sean. Yes.
It is you.
That is the biggest thing, actually, is hearing
listen
somebody without seeing them.
Yeah.
And you get
the trouble is you could be led down the rabbit hole again because you could speak to the receptionist who is lovely and, oh, yeah, I'm sure we could do stuff for you. And then suddenly you meet the boss who goes, oh, no, you're not part of this.
And I think to some extent that's going to happen. Yeah. You are going to come across somebody who is going to do that, and they're going to try and squash your butterfly, crush your butterfly. They're going to have a good go at it simply because they think they can. The important thing, I think, to know is to understand your worth and to know that this is a micro being in the cosmos of your world and the business, and just go, actually, you're a knob. Sorry. I'm going.
You're allowed to say that's right.
Okay, it's my show.
Yeah, yeah. It's not what I like.
It's not the BBC.
So there, no.
Why are you confused? I think lots of people are like doorknobs and handles. Yeah, I don't know. Did you have a different interpretation?
It's so funny. The reason why we're laughing is we've been talking for a number of months now when women come in and talk about their intuition, where they're a business and a startup and they think it's an opportunity and they just go with it. And actual fact, their gut reaction. And when we talked about what's your biggest failure, they say not listen to their instincts.
Yeah.
Because they're flattered in 6 months of a new business, they've got an opportunity. Yeah. And then it's taken them 2 years to unwind a relationship they shouldn't have got into.
And you know what? Mm. Also, this is the really distasteful part, is that that person is a statistic for that company or whatever. So they are important to them as a statistic, but they won't back it up with any advice or so there's a sort of take on some level. It's like, I'll take that, but I'll kind of dump you on another level. And I just resent that. I think that to push people down is always encouragement. If anyone's it's like someone stepped up to the mark, they deserve someone's attention and they deserve some advice.
Yeah, but you see, there's a lot of ego goes on, isn't there? There really is. A lot of people, and all of, you know, I'm not sort of, you know, excluding myself from this. There is a lot of ego that happens and there's a lot of form filling and box ticking and point scoring that goes on. And if the person that you're sat in front of has never run a business, they have a different agenda. They just do. And I think it's just important that you don't take on board their crap.
Yeah.
Actually, that if it's not working, you know, sometimes people can just... How many times have you seen this happen? Where instead of saying, actually, I don't think we can help you, or this isn't right for you, they decide that they're going to put in a few nasty little things as well. And they make barbed comments. They can't just say this isn't right or it's not right for you or thank you very much for applying. They have to put in little nasty things.
Yeah, I think those people should be struck off.
But they're sometimes really subtle.
Really subtle
digs
that
you don't notice them. And I think that's sometimes where the danger lies when we're we're sort of approaching this sort of thing. It's not just a no thank you. There's a little bit of a tiny little spit of venom behind it, which is really just unnecessary.
A dagger that goes in. And I think that goes back to the intuition of trusting one's gut. Do I want to sit and spend my time, my valuable time, in front of this person? Because that's the important thing. Self-value is so key.
So bringing different thinking into your business, number one, intuition.
Trust
your gut. If it doesn't feel right, just turn around, walk away, because there will be something else that will come. There is no opportunity out there. There is nothing that seems like an opportunity that is a once in a lifetime. Something else will be around the corner. So intuition, number one. Other different ways of bringing different thinking into your business. I think it's actually not putting yourself inside those invisible, what do they call it, boundaries, I suppose, of how other people see business. which goes back to, it doesn't matter how big or small you are, it doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're putting flowers or flip-flops on the kitchen table, if you're selling them and you're making money and you're paying yourself, you've got a business.
Mm.
Don't worry about what Mr. Bank Manager says. Mm. You've got a business.
Mm. Yeah.
I do. Mm. I do. And again, sometimes when, if you are a woman, perhaps you've had a employment and then you're moving into business and employment and your family see you putting those on, then sometimes actually some of the pressure you get is actually within your home where, you know, perhaps they're not seeing that as that business. And sometimes the battle actually begins at home before you even go out to business. So again, it's coming back to explaining about that creative thinking, which, and again, if I'm in that moment, you have that space working from home or where you work. If for me, if you do then get creativity, I go to a completely different space and I go to somewhere around people. I might sit in a coffee shop or somewhere where they've got good water, good Wi-Fi. And I did it last week because I just felt so blocked, and I knew, I didn't even know what the problem, I just knew, went to this place, and within 20 minutes I was just flowing because I took myself out of my usual space.
Absolutely.
And I just saw things so differently.
I use different spaces as well. So if I need some abstract thinking, I'll go to a place that has a really big ceiling that's high, that's quite clean and clear. I might, my office looks out over the sweep of the Medway. So sometimes I'll go and look at a window or move into a different space where I can still see that and sort of just get a little bit of abstract thinking. If I need to drill down on something, so if I'm writing an article or something along those lines, I might go to, there's a Cafe Nero in Bluewater, for instance, that's really dark. It's got booths. Booths and darkness and that sort of thing. It's a bit like a 1960s cafe that I used to go to up in Soho with my mum, where it was all booths and darkness and little carafes of wine on tables and spag bowl.
Well, you're talking about boundaries again, you know, coming into a space. Space has an influence on us as business women and men. So it's that finding a space. I am a great believer of that. And also I'm a great believer of, if you want to have expanded thinking, I sometimes will hire, go into a hotel lobby, a beautiful hotel that's abundant and gorgeous. And I will dress up and I'll take my laptop and I'll work there because that's about abundant thinking.
Yeah,
and that's what we have to do, is sort of, think abundantly.
Exactly.
There's one just outside St Pancras. I can't remember what it might be, something like St Pancras International. I can't remember. But there's a hotel, actually, you can get through to it in St Pancras Station up in London. Sorry if you're in the Seychelles. but I'm sure you have, I'm sure you have even more beautiful spaces.
Oh, yes.
And I wouldn't say it's the most opulent. It is nice, actually, but it isn't the most beautiful space. But they're sort of already geared up for you to do that. Because I think that when I've done that and I've taken myself to an amazing space, but I also need to work on my laptop, and I can't get online, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, or the table's wrong. And suddenly I can feel myself getting crosser and crosser and more frustrated because I can't get done what I want to to do.
It's Claridge's, because I used to work in the city, and sometimes you'd like, I wanted to get out the stuffy boardroom, and I would just go and sit, like, because I knew the Wi-Fi would work and they knew me. Hi, Adele, you having a moment? Yeah. And I can't sit in Claridge's because, like you, that opulence and watching people go by, and it just then unlocks that. Yeah,
and it's almost like it's there's actually a different world out there, and there's different stuff happening, and there's different people, and there's different things just going on, and the noise of a cafe, and the minimal risk that somebody, it has happened to me actually, where you've taken yourself off somewhere and you think, okay, now, hello, I haven't seen you for ages. And I'll go, oh, hi, who are you?
But the other side of that is that you could find yourself, I've been on a train journey and decided to kind of upgrade to the to have the, you know, the
first class
and have the food, you know, the restaurant cart, and then being sat next to four women, and oh my word, the most amazing conversation.
Yes,
one was a lawyer.
Yes.
We troubleshooted and we talked about ideas, and it was so rich. You know, and I thought, wow, you know, that was a great bit of networking. So, you know, so there's lots of great opportunities.
You just always come across people. To get different thinking.
Listen to your intuition. Get into a different space. meet different people. Meet different people. Go out to different organisations. Have different conversations. Listen to different things.
Some perspective.
Yeah, take part in things. One of the reasons that I really like Substack, and we have literally only just started on it, is that it gives you the opportunity to tap into artists, writers, business people. It doesn't matter who it is. It also has a community about it, so you can go on to read one thing and find out that this person's recommended something else. But there's also the ability to comment and like posts, so you can start to build a community around what you're doing. But that also means that you can find a different community and you can find different opinions. And it's not like Facebook or Twitter yet.
Yes.
I'm hoping it doesn't become like that. It seems at the moment to be sort of genuine comments, not nastiness or jealousy or
so
just
I haven't used Substack
stuff.
Yet. I haven't used it yet.
I'm just getting my head round. I'm just getting my head round it, to be honest.
I use LinkedIn, and that seems to be quite good. Although, actually, funnily enough, it was through Instagram that I've had some opportunities as an artist. But that was in the sort of lockdown time, early time.
I'm not sure that Substack is a place where you would go to.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Sell or promote your stuff. It's more of a place where you can build, where you can share, have a voice, be that written or Margaret Atwood has just started writing on it.
Oh, interesting.
So it's that sort of place.
Yeah.
Where you can have a voice, where you can share your ideas, be they business ideas, your life ideas, could be your recipes, doesn't really matter. It really is literally right the way across the board. And think of it as a website, which is connected to lots of, so you have a website on there, which is connected to lots of other people's websites, and where people can share, oh, I found that website, and you might like that, guys. If you're reading me, you might like that. This is what I like. And then as a reader of a particular publication, you can comment on posts if the person allows you to do that. And I'm really keen to see how this starts to develop, because I think as far as bringing different thinking into your business, this is a really good way of doing it as well, because once you get the engagement going, what I'm hoping is that you have people feeding back into you in a creative versus toxic environment.
Yep, absolutely. And the other thing I think is really key here is to be open. This is another sort of way of thinking differently, is to be open to different ways of looking at things, because we can have this idea of what we want to do in our business, and we can be so absolutely fixated of like, no, I want to do it this way. And someone will come to you and might say, have you ever thought of trying this? And you think, no, I don't want to do that. Don't want to do it that way. But actually, if we can still stick to our idea, but it's just that ability to listen to others and to just get ideas and be willing to be a bit flexible.
Yeah. Do you know a word or a phrase that I ban? If I'm working with somebody, and it could be that I'm working with a group of people and we're doing a mastermind and we've got a board out and we're just putting up the first thing that comes into your head. Here's a question. Here's a problem. Here's a whatever. Blurt that out. Splat it out. One thing you are never allowed to say is, yeah, but. Have you thought about doing the yeah, but?
Or no.
Yeah. No, actually, no is sort of okay.
Yeah.
Because no is actually, that's it. No, that's illegal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
No,
yes. In that context, yes.
That's that. No, I've done that. But yeah, but is like a killer. I haven't made a decision about it, but I don't like it because for some reason in my head, I'm not quite sure. It could be you. I'm not sure. But I'm just going to go, yeah, but we can't do that because, yeah, but I would do that if it wasn't for. Yeah, but is pulls the energy down. Yeah, but for me is like a, I'm just about to come up with an excuse here because I can't think of a real reason why I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, and again, I take some of my problems out and talk to my trusted network. But if you do that, the yeah, but stops that
yeah,
vulnerability.
It does. End of.
I'm vulnerable, and I actually, because I have the perception as the leader of the group of the club that I'm doing, I haven't got all the answers, so I go out. But that takes a vulnerability as a leader or someone leading something. Yeah. So, do you know what? And that's why a lot of people don't do it, because first of all, it shows my vulnerability, but also that courageous conversation that I don't have all the answers. But then I get that perspective. But some people just don't want to do that because it's that vulnerable as actually you expect me to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I'm good at facilitating a conversation and go, yeah, I like that. And we can build on that. But that takes a level of vulnerability to go
and
out
courage.
To someone. And courage. Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage.
Brené Brownie. But it's true. It's having that courage and that vulnerability.
And I think when you're looking to spark creativity and spark ideas, yeah, but shuts it down.
Oh, it does.
Because what happens is the conversation, the sparking of the ideas, bump, 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 bump. It doesn't matter whether they're stupid, good, who cares? They could be utterly ridiculous, couldn't they? But suddenly that sparking of ideas goes down into a great long diatribe of excuses as to why you can't speak on stage or why you can't do this or why you can't do that. And suddenly we're done.
Mm. Yeah. It's going nowhere.
We're done.
The energy dipped right into the ground. Yeah.
It's a list of stuff that is not going to... Yeah. A reason why something can't happen instead of why it could.
Definitely. Or actually ask the question, but actually I don't want your answer. I just want you to tell me it's like, you know...
Yeah, I'm right.
I'm right. You know, and I say to somebody, well, why did you bother asking then? Because if you think you're right, I wanted you to tell me I was right. Yeah, but I don't think you are. Well, I'm right. Well, don't bother then. But why ask me the question when you don't actually want to hear the answer?
That happens quite a lot. What do you think about so and so? And I'll say, do you want an honest answer?
Do you want me to be nice or
do you want the smiley answer? Yeah.
Nice. I say, do you want me the nice answer or the kind answer?
Yes.
So, intuition, brainstorming without. What's the word? Brainstorming without judgment, actually.
Yeah.
It's just out it comes. Because I think sometimes when I've been looking at things, sometimes out of the most ridiculous suggestions that I've come up with or other people have come up with, and your initial reaction is, yeah, what? Out of the most ridiculous suggestions come those little nuggets, because our brains don't always tie the dots together in a sensible way. They just blurt something out. Blurts. That's what we need. Is blurts.
Blurts.
Yeah.
Being allowed to blurt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to build on that, I call it the five whys or the six whys, because sometimes we think we've got a problem and we just go one or two. And for me, to get to the, sometimes we don't spend enough time on the true root cause of the problem. And I think you go down, well, why is that? Why is that? And I try, have I gone down five or six times? Because otherwise, we just jump straight into solutions. So I always do five or six whys. So I actually make sure I don't lose time, money and energy on solving the wrong problem.
Yes, that. So actually getting in a nutshell, if you want to bring different thinking into your business because you have an issue, you have a problem. I think actually knowing what that nutshell problem is one of the hardest things.
Yes.
It actually asking the right questions. Asking the right questions so that we have the right problem.
Yeah. And we don't get to problem definition anywhere near as we should do.
Yes.
And spend a lot of money, time and energy on a solution that, it didn't work. No, it didn't.
Because it was the wrong problem.
You've got the wrong statement. You're trying to solve the wrong problem. And I think that always has to be. Mm. And I think questions generally, you know, we ask ourselves questions for everything, don't we? If we're going to step off the pavement, our brain's going, which foot should I step off with? Mm. We're always asking questions. And it's just about becoming, I think, conscious of those questions and asking the right questions. Mm. And I think there are all sorts of publications that can guide us through.
Yeah,
different types of questions that we can ask to spark. Mm. Spark different thinking and creativity. Elaine, you mentioned very you've mentioned very quickly in another show, and also in some of the information that we've got about you, because we're very nosy, you know, about Julia Cameron and the artist's way. And that's a technique that I use. I don't use it as religiously as I should do, actually. Every now and then when stuff's starting to go disappear down into a black hole, I go, oh my goodness me, hang on a minute, I'll get my pad out and do that.
Yes.
So I think it's an amazingly simple and important technique. Mm. I think it's something you can do right now, although it's done best in the morning, isn't it? Where all you need is a pen and some paper, and you don't have to do anything else. There's nothing to learn. There's nothing to listen to. Mm. Can you just tell us, seeing as you've mentioned that as something that you, as one of the books that you like, what it is that you find useful about that and how it fits into bringing different thinking into your business? I'm assuming it does, actually, because I sort of know. So how do you think that Morning Pages can help?
Yeah, I use Morning Pages, but I don't use it necessarily as writing. I find that as a creative, I get blocked a lot. And I think because it's a bit like, you know, you were given the gift of creation, but we're going to block you so that you learn how to unblock yourself constantly. You know, it's that sort of thing of, so it's, I think as human beings, we do get blocked and we can fall down those rabbit holes that what we've been talking about. Someone could be, you could go and knock on a door and someone would go, oh, you're not a small business. No, you don't tick the boxes. And then down you go into rabbit hole. I'm not good enough. So I think, out of that is the way I use it is, yes, I do lots of writing and I can do that. So I'll start writing a process of just where I am, like that, as you say, that blur of, you know, it might not be anything.
I think we ought to explain what Morning Pages is.
Yes.
So I'll do my one and then you do your one because you do it differently, don't you? So for me, Morning Pages is you get your pen, you get some paper and you write out without thinking, without judgment, without punctuation, just blurt out six sides of A4 written.
Yeah.
And you just don't think about it. You just scribble, scribble, scribble. You don't do less than six sides because it is, I find, in the last sort of half a page that actually some little pearls of wisdom start to arise, some little sort of realizations. If you do more than six pages, you start to sort of focus a little bit too much on yourself and it can become a bit overindulgent. But it should ideally be the first thing that happens when you get up in the morning. It clears your head. All of that crap that's swirling around is now down on the paper and gone. That's my understanding.
Yeah. That's what Julia Cameron does. Yes. And so, and being an artist and thinking things outside the box, I've taken that into a different area. So what I do is there are tools to unblock, and that's what I use. And I do teach some of this stuff as well. And what I do is I'm interested in left and right brain. So I will, with students, what I do is I get them to close their eyes and draw with the left and the right hand. I get people, I personally dance madly to some track in the house. You know, I'll just get up from my whatever I'm doing. If I'm stuck, I'll put on a track that I like and I'll just go for it. And I'll scream, jump, arms in the air, jumping, you know, whatever. Just get into that space because it's about breaking out of, I think what Julia Cameron's trying to do in this is that sort of unblocking. It's like a sink. You've got a sink that's blocked. How are you going to unblock it? You know, you need to kind of poke something down and shake it up a bit, or get a plunger and suck it out, you know. So it's that. So how can I do that? So as an artist, I do it in lots of different ways, and I use lots of different tools. So I'll do automatic writing, left and right hand. So
what's automatic writing?
So automatic writing is when you basically, the idea is you use your left hand, your right hand, left hand. You're doing what you talked about, just allowing a stream of unconscious thoughts to appear on the page. But if you allow it to just keep going, you almost can hit a kind of spiritual moment where you can get answers. So you could then ask questions. So this is lots of artists have used this technique. Actually, the surrealists worked with this a lot. the left and right brain hemispheres, because in the middle of that the left and the right brain, there's a sort of sweet spot, if you like, and that's a sort of point of kind of intuition, sort of instinct, you know. So that's sort of playing with that, finding that getting some answers, but you have to free it up first. Yeah. So like the unplugging the sink, you've got to free it up so that the water flows.
Mm. I've got a question, and it's possibly what we should have asked at the start, but, and this may be trickier than it sounds at first, which is, how do you know that you're blocked?
I know when I'm blocked.
Right, you know when you're blocked, when because you've reached a point where you've been doing this for a while, so you know when you're blocked. My previous experience is of racing, distracting myself, keeping busy with busy work, sitting down to bring different ideas into my business and different creativity into my business and thinking I've done it. Mm. When in actual fact, I'm blocked, but you don't know that. So how do you know when something perhaps isn't going as you want it to, not because you're useless or stupid or don't work hard enough, when you were talking about the pushing and pushing and pushing and I'll just do more of this and everything will be fine. But how do you know when you're actually, when your creativity is blocked?
Again, linking back, I know, because I start forcing things. I crowbar things in rather than sitting back and flow. So as soon as I start, and sometimes you think block means sitting because you're stuck. No, I'm the contrary. I will force. And then that's what I've learned, especially this year. I'm blocked, sit, go somewhere else and flow. Mm. So if I go from flow state to force state, I am blocked. And that's what's happened to me last week, which is why I took myself off. But I recognise it now. I recognise, I can feel the veins in the neck, right? Okay, I need to go somewhere. And then I just sat and then I got back into flow state. That's how I know. I actually speed up rather than slow down when I'm blocked. I speed up.
I think that's, that for me is such that in a way is the crucial question because I think so many people are not doing stuff to build their creativity or boost their creativity because they don't know. It's like you don't know what it is you don't know.
A good question.
For you, it's you're going faster and faster. Yep. You're doing more and more, but still nothing is changing. Nothing's
I'm
changing.
Hamster wheel. I'm on the hamster wheel. Yeah.
Is that the same for you, Elaine?
It's I've got loads. Mine's like going too fast. Mm-hmm. Mine's feeling miserable, like feeling depressed.
Okay.
Getting a headache, a migraine. My body's going, you need to stop. You need to stop. So my body then gives me something to stop myself. So I stop.
Okay. Cold, flu.
Achy illness. Tired.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And a hundred. There's lots and lots of different ways I can block. I can feel blocked. And what you've said, like too fast, too slow, procrastination.
Yep.
Can't be bothered with this. I don't know.
I think we've probably just hit the key thing here is knowing, understanding that some of the symptoms that you're dealing with are a sign that somewhere inside are some pearls of wisdom and creativity that the universe is trying really, really hard to get out and into the world as part of your business. That this is perhaps your mission. This is what you're supposed to be doing and your purpose, but you're not doing it because you're too busy shoving things in a different direction through a business plan or whatever else. Yeah. Okay, so just not feeling right, feeling stress, feeling fear, too much work, loads of work, not enough results, not getting anywhere.
Knocking on a door as well. Knocking on a door constantly and not getting any doors open. And then suddenly a door will open on the right there that you never expected.
But
and
you're not looking at it.
I didn't want to go in that door. That door's not good enough.
No, what are you doing over there? No.
And that's the universe going, it's through that door. It's that door there.
Okay, so let's just say that you've got all of those symptoms and you're listening in now and you're thinking, hey, that sort of sounds a little bit like me. Now what? now what? Because if you don't have this massive spiritual toolbox available to you, or loads of business gurus, because ultimately it sits with us, doesn't it?
Does.
More and more people coming in and telling us what to do or how to do it isn't actually going to help, is it? In fact, all it's going to do is add more
confusion, more
things into the pot of possibilities. So you're feeling like that. What do you do? If you're feeling like that and you're out there now, what do you do?
Well, everyone can make a list right here, right now, with a self-care list. Everyone could do that. And go on, do it, do it. Pick up your pen.
Yep, start.
Do it now. And make a list, a little list of little, it's like a menu of things that make you feel good. Because when you feel good, you can start, that's the process of starting to unblock. You can do the pages, there's lots of things you can do, but if you feel better in yourself, you are going to have more success.
You're right. I think the next one, and I want to sort of, we're running out of time, and I think we could probably talk about this for ages, actually. I think you need to clear the decks and get the crap out. Yeah. So for me, yep, I would just sit and write. So self-care list, absolutely. And I would never have put that at the top of my list. So thank you. Do your self-care list. Sit down.
Go somewhere different to do it.
Notebook, paper. Yeah. Sit down. Every piece of crap, words, doesn't matter what it is, just vomit it all out. Don't organise it. Just vomit it out.
Take yourself somewhere.
I love that.
Different.
And you know what? When you said have a good clear out, I was thinking about possession consciousness. I was thinking, right, okay, I've heard people talk about when they're feeling depressed and low, a member of spiritual healer saying to me, go and clean out a cupboard.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
Go and clean out a cupboard.
I do.
So I'd say if you're feeling low, go and sort out your drawer or your cupboard or your wardrobe and go and take a bag to charity because you're getting rid of stuff to make space for something new.
Yeah. I would also, along the very, very similar lines, and I'm not suggesting you throw out all of those business documents that you need, but you know, all of those processes, and I wouldn't want you to think I'm speaking from experience here. Obviously I'm not. Somebody else has done all of this. If you've got folders full of processes and procedures and all of this sort of thing, and how to do this and how to do that, all stuff that you haven't actually seen for really quite some time, don't go through it. You are not going to use it. Get rid of it. Mm. Get rid of it because you're starting again.
Yeah.
If you haven't used it and it's not your, like your tax returns or anything like that, get rid of it.
Yeah. Clear, and I'm the worst at this. I need to do some sorting out, you know, even in our phones. I mean, how many times do we go through the WhatsApp files and get rid of it? You know, just clear the conversation, clear the history.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is, you know, if you haven't used it in the last year, you don't need it. And I caught myself going through like millions of photos and things on my computer and whatever. I suddenly thought, actually, you don't need this. Take it off, stuff it somewhere else. If you really, really do need that photo, it's going to be over there on that hard drive, and yes, you can go and find it. But for right now, there were like 40,000 of them. How many?
Tell me about it.
That's 40,000 mini decisions.
Yes.
How long is that going to take?
Yeah,
it does. And for me, I call it noise creep, overwhelm creep. So sort of every 90 days, I look at who I've friended or, you know, on Instagram, I follow it, and I just unfollow people.
Yeah.
If people say to me, oh, I really hate my Instagram feed, I'm like, do you realise you control that? So unfollow the people that you don't want to be around, but you get drift, don't you, over time. So for me, it's taking a step back. I step back every 90 days, look at my top contacts, my WhatsApp.
God, she's so organised.
Just because you just get caught out by the noise, don't you?
Yeah.
Self-care, clear the decks.
Yep.
Different space.
Now we're in a situation where we can start to bring in different ideas and approaches that we haven't had before. So how are we going to do that? Brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Proper problem statement. What really is the problem you're trying to solve?
And your community. Who are you going to engage with?
So is there a problem? What is it? Mm. who's the community? What am I trying to achieve? What's my intention?
And also picking up on the community, I've got different types of people around me with different personality types. So I don't want to take my problem to the same version of me. Why would I do that? Yeah. But I've got different people with different thinking.
We might not be talking about a problem. Oh, okay. It might not be a problem. And I think creative, that's actually really...
I don't take...
Yeah, I think we may not have a problem, or perhaps we always have a problem. Perhaps the problem is it's not going anywhere. Okay.
But talking to someone who thinks like me is a way... I talk to people who think differently to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So have different conversations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's my intention? I think that's such so key. What do I actually want here? Yeah. What's my intention? Mm. Bring in different viewpoints. Yeah. Different viewpoints without judgment. Mm.
Just briefly, I did the Maidstone project, I was fortunate to use a space, a different space, but out on the street. It was like a part of the Maidstone outreach kind of, and it was a building there, and I could go out onto the street and talk to the general public. So that was amazing. You mentioned, Adele, about talking to different people.
Yeah, it is talking to different perspectives.
Bring in different ideas without judgment. Write down your options. Brainstorm your options, write down your options, get some pictures up on the wall. Yeah. We've got less than 2 minutes left.
And don't rush to a solution. You can have the
confidence.
That
is so scary, actually. But you're absolutely, don't rush. No. It is the hardest thing in the world when you don't have any money or you've got stuff happening and people putting pressure on you to actually stop and go, I'm sitting here. This is where I am. Yeah. But if you don't do it, if you're not brave enough, I love that word, if you're not brave enough to actually do that and stop and juggle things around, nothing would move, will it?
No. And one thing I would just like to say is I use mood boards.
Yes.
And that is when I, at the moment, I've been working with the idea of putting my name in a sort of a gallery of older women artists, because there's a whole thing around age. So get pictures of what you want and put them down on a mood board and put yourself in that picture.
We are going to finish it on that. Get a mood board. Put what you want out there. Stick yourself, put your own picture in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
Okay. I really do hope, I think that's helped me certainly to bring up some different ideas of how to bring different thinking into my business. I really hope it's helped you. That was wrong, wasn't it? I really hope it's helped you. We're going to say goodbye for now. Let's very quickly, our guest in the studio, Elaine Foster Gandy. How can people get hold of you?
Yeah, elainefostergandy.com is my website, which is Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Foster Gandy, FosterGandey.com, and on Instagram, hashtag Foster Gandy, spelt GANDEY. Been a pleasure, Sean and Adele.
So I'm Sean Murphy, my co-host is Adele Martin. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, individually, together, showing off, doing whatever we do.
Yay.
And on our website, the Women in Business Radio Show.com, and now on Substack. So we are checking out for actually until after the new year. So it's we will see you back in 2023. You take care.
Bye.
Tune in next week to the Women in Business Radio Show for more stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you grow your business.